It's Wednesday, March 6, 2024, and I'm Dave Sobel. Welcome to the Business of Tech Lounge. Today on the show, let's talk AI opportunity with perspectives from the tech media and Rich Freeman of Channelholic. Other options for acquisitions versus private equity as we reflect on Elliot Holland's comments from the weekend. Tabitha Scott brings a different perspective on how to consider your business, and the FCC moves on AI and gives insights into the impact of the Affordable Connectivity Program. But first, our top story. Kaseya's 2024 MSP benchmark report reveals that cybersecurity is a top revenue driver for 73% of managed services providers. The report also highlights the increasing importance of investing in the right technology to protect against cyber attacks. Automation and integration are key solutions to IT challenges, with 85% of participants considering automation a must-have. Additionally, AI adoption and skilling are in the spotlight as IT professionals are eager to use AI to streamline tasks. Hiring skilled IT professionals remains a critical challenge for MSPs in 2024. Some other data highlights from the report. 64% of respondents stated that less than 10% of their SMB customers had been hit by a cyber attack this year. 37% of MSPs indicate that implementing AI technologies will be challenging. And top challenges this year, 36% say acquiring customers, up from last year, 19% dealing with advanced and sophisticated security threats, the same as last year, and 12% saying hiring, down from last year. Kaseya reports that amongst the respondents, more than half at 55%, said they do not have a plan to acquire or sell, while only 11% identified it as their primary growth strategy. Maybe M&A isn't so hot. The majority of respondents at 61% said they intend to drive growth by providing new services to both new and existing clients. And just over half of participants at 53% indicated that their focus is on increasing sales. And about 49% of MSPs are considering starting or improving their marketing efforts. Some quick demographics for the 1,000 MSPs globally surveyed. 65% of respondents identified as MSP, 12% as MSSP, 9% as network and data center focused, and 3% as break fix. Now, why do we care? I'm going to be talking about the AI opportunity later, but let's focus first on automation versus AI. Automation is a key area that vendors like Kaseya are pushing, because the idea behind using tools to simplify process is the key idea behind MSP. AI would be an advanced version of that, applying things like artificial intelligence and machine learning to those large data sets to get more insights. But ultimately, the key element that I want people to focus on is the idea of data management. This is all only valuable if the data is well organized and well put together. If you don't address data management both for yourself and for your customers, AI is ultimately irrelevant. I also know that we like these kinds of demographic reports to try and get insights into what other MSPs are doing and what they're thinking. This is the kind of planning that you'll use for strategic insights, and I know we all like talking about it. Today, it's a bit of a tale of three reports. In the recorded Wednesday show, dropping today at 5 p.m. Eastern, I'll dive into ConnectWise's new TSP compensation report and SaaS Alert's new data report as well. Two teases from those reports. Only 35% of those surveyed are doing adoption of multi-factor authentication, and remote work remains relatively low in the technology service provider industry, with only 8.7% of employees working 100% remotely, while 42.8% work exclusively in the office. Most TSP employees, at 73%, spend at least 3 days or more working in the office. We'll have lots to talk about. But next up, I want to dig into some of those Friday big idea stories that I didn't have a chance to dive into. First, I want to quote from The Verge, quoting the article. Quote, "We've gotten very frothy very quickly," says Mark Schumick, an analyst at Bernstein. "Some investors and analysts have analogued AI to the early internet, which puts a lot of weight on the shoulders of AI companies. But we've lived through a few of these cycles with crypto and the metaverse that we've discarded quickly." And another quote from that same article. "The first place close observers like Greenstein believe adoption may occur widely is in IT, especially around software development, customer service, and back office tasks, such as processing inbound forms, that make Microsoft Copilot, the AI companion, an indicator for the overall field. One soft measure of Microsoft's dominance is that, much as Googling quickly became synonymous with web search, we are talking about Copilot and not offerings from other giants such as Google, Salesforce, or Oracle," says Adam Nowinski, co-founder and general partner at OTB Ventures. And again, another quote from that same article. "Whether Copilot is actually worth the price remains an open question. Certainly, AI didn't help Microsoft in search. For all the hype about incorporating AI into its Bing search engine, its market share grew by less than 0.5%. Microsoft seems to have been fumbling for a good use for Copilot, too. The brand started at GitHub and moved into sales products and then into Microsoft Office apps. Even Microsoft's Super Bowl ad is vague. If there's a killer use case, the company hasn't found it yet." But I want to offer a bit of pushback, too. This, quoting from Axios, "Federal Reserve Bank of New York President John C. Williams expresses skepticism about the long-term productivity gains of artificial intelligence and its impact on the economy. While AI may contribute to a 1 to 1.5% productivity growth, Williams suggests that a faster productivity growth could occur if AI becomes a general-purpose technology. However, he notes that the U.S.'s limited production of computers and chips may result in productivity gains happening more in other countries. Overall, the potential of AI as a driver of strong productivity growth is still uncertain." Back on Monday's show, I cited Rich Freeman's Channel Holic newsletter on what distribution is saying about the opportunity. So I called Rich up and I asked him to tell us what the distribution channel is saying to him. Let's hear from Rich.
This is Rich Freeman from Channel Holic. You know, for the last year, I think all of us have been reading a lot, hearing a lot, thinking a lot about MSPs can use artificial intelligence to run the business more efficiently internally and save money. But I've been interested recently at how they can also potentially sell AI-related services to their end users and make money with it as well. A lot of very smart people whose opinions I respect a great deal have been telling me that opportunity is coming, but it's not here now. You're looking at potentially a few years before a typical MSP is going to be making recurring revenue from their end users on anything AI related. But I've been watching the big distributors, TD SYNNEX, Ingram Micro, DNA, roll out these training and enablement programs with additional resources around them designed to help their MSP and solution provider partners make money with AI now. And so I spoke in particular recently with Ingram and with DNA. They both believe there is money to be made immediately. The low-hanging fruit is obviously around Microsoft Copilot for 365. Most of your customers are using Microsoft 365. This is something easy to attach to that. You'll make a little bit of licensing revenue. Maybe you'll get a one-time hit on implementation, training, security policy setting, and that kind of thing. You can potentially bump up your monthly rate a little bit because you're now managing an additional application and a relatively complex one at that. You deserve to be compensated for that. This is very easy, but not the most lucrative opportunity around AI. The more ambitious but lucrative opportunity is in the vicinity of what I've started to think of as AI digital transformation. And the idea is you sit down with an account and you begin with a workshop. And you look at their business and their business objectives and their business processes, and you look for an opportunity to apply AI in a way that's going to make a meaningful difference for them in terms of making money or saving money. And when you find a use case you're bought into, then you design, build, implement the system. And once it's up and running, it's got to be secure. It's got to be managed. That is a source of recurring revenue for you. Now, obviously, the reason the distributors are creating these enablement programs is because you've got to do some preparation to get yourself ready to host workshops and build these solutions. But it's worth mentioning that I know for a fact that Ingram, at least, if there's any piece of this, once you reach the design build phase that you don't feel fully capable of doing yourself, they've got a professional services unit that can do it for you on an outsourced basis. So they really, all the big distributors really believe there is money for MSPs to be made in artificial intelligence right now. A lot of it is project work, but some of it is recurring revenue. And the time to start getting in on this, they believe, is now, before your competitors do and before they start talking to your accounts. No need to wait a few years for this.
So let's ask, why do we care, and get some perspective? I think the issue at play here right now that we really want to focus on is the idea of what the timeline is. I think we all can identify there's something happening in AI. That seems rather obvious. But ultimately, the real question is, how fast will we see it? What's the timeline? Are we talking months or are we talking years? Now, I want to note something Rich said and call out his specific comments about recurring revenue. I want to note that all revenue doesn't have to be recurring. MSPs often worship at the altar of recurring revenue, but that's not the only way to make money. Yes, we all love recurring revenue because of the stability it brings in, but let's not be necessarily dismissive of project-based revenue, particularly if those projects are designed to do things like digital transformation and invest in our customers and make sure that they're taking their IT spend and growing their productivity in their business. Ultimately, I think that's the key element to focus on. I mentioned earlier the idea of data management. You need to make sure that your customer's data is well prepared to take advantage of AI, and you're looking ways to leverage it. We've mentioned Microsoft Copilot several times. That seems to be a recurring theme, that is an easy entry point for initial deployments. It gets customers comfortable with it. And by the way, to be useful with Copilot, you have to have done a set of work to prepare the data. You have to make sure the data is well put together, it's well organized, and you've applied a permissions model around it. That data management service is a precursor to being effective. And I'd be remiss if I didn't offer the fact that using it internally versus selling it is oftentimes a great place to start for solution providers. Don't be dismissive of project work and of small incremental investments in technology to drive outcomes, because that incremental change is what's going to make a big difference. If you got a question or a comment, please make sure to throw it into the comment section. I will be taking questions in our questions section later in the show. Now, I want to revisit the interview. As I was becoming a recurring theme on the live show, we can take a moment to think about what we talked about on the weekend and discuss further. Over the weekend, I had Elliot Holland on the show from Guardian Due Diligence. If you missed it, I wanted to highlight his comment around private equity. So for those of us that don't think a lot about buying companies, but have been hearing all the M&A craze, particularly in our space, you almost would be inclined to think that private equity is the only capital option out there. Well, what are the other options for buying companies?
Increasingly, private equity is not the only option, but one that's not all that favorable for owners. And so if owners have a choice of private equity and some other option, they're going to consider some other option, because we all know how capital focused private equity is going to be. And sometimes people want something. So let's talk about the other option. So there are independent sponsors, which are people that have typically floated out of a private equity firm, and now they operate an independent entity with all their relationships. There's also a group called ETA, Entrepreneurship Through Acquisition, or search funds, or self-funded search, which are more the everyday folks that endeavor to buy a business using a debt from their local bank. And so I could be more specific, but those are generally the three types of business buyers.
Now, what Elliot brings up is really important. There are multiple ways to raise money for growth. Private equity isn't the only one. And in fact, it may not necessarily be the only exit strategy for everyone. So why do we hear so much about private equity? Well, it's about financial incentives. Private equity needs you to hear a lot about them. They invest very heavily in making sure you're aware of them as an option to exit with your business. And let me highlight something that has been recurring in when we have conversations with Abe Garver, understanding the private equity space. Oftentimes, there aren't enough companies for private equity to buy. In fact, their demands for places to deploy their capital to make sure it makes money is far exceeded by the number of companies that are available for them to buy. So they're spending time investing in growing companies to make them ready for acquisition. That's why we hear so much about private equity. They're very motivated to create more companies for them to buy when the supply is currently limited. Now, I want to observe, this isn't necessarily bad. They're simply statements of fact. We're understanding the financial incentives of the private equity firms and why they're leaning in so aggressively. They have raised capital. They want to deploy it in this market, and they understand that. From a business perspective, that could be viewed as very good because it's an endorsement of the space. But understand, it's not the only way to do it. And there are multiple ways to go to market, as someone like Elliot gave us insights into the different ways. I wanted to highlight that to make sure that business owners consider that private equity is one of multiple paths to potential success. Next up, I want to do a little bit of a story roundup, a couple of things that didn't get covered on the Daily Show. First up, the Federal Communications Commission has launched a consumer advisory committee focused on analyzing the impact of artificial intelligence on consumers, particularly in terms of privacy and protection. This initiative comes as the FCC aims to protect consumers from unwarranted and illegal AI-facilitated communications, such as robocalls. The committee, consisting of 28 members appointed by FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel, will hold its inaugural meeting on April 4th. And speaking of the FCC, a survey commissioned by the FCC found that a majority of participants in the Affordable Connectivity Program, or ACP, did not have quality internet access before joining the program. The survey revealed that 68% of participants had inconsistent or zero connectivity, with affordability being the main barrier. The ACP, which provides subsidized broadband internet service for low-income families, is facing opposition from Republicans who argue that beneficiaries already had internet prior to the program's inception. Without additional funding, the program is expected to expire in April. Now, why do we care? The first up, I keep talking about broadband access on the show because from my perspective, we want to make sure that this important utility is made available to as many potential customers as possible, or as many downstream customers for our customers as possible. That's why, from my perspective, investments in the affordable connectivity program are important, and showing that 68% of those were inconsistent or zero connectivity situations shows generally the program has been quite a success. I also wanted to highlight that set of meetings for an advisory committee on the impact of AI on consumers. We'll be looking for the advice coming out of the committee to understand how to best apply it in customer situations. And additionally, I wanted to have a follow-up from last week's live show, where we discussed Michael George coming on as the new CEO for Synchro. Well, Synchro has announced the appointment of D. Zepp, former VP of product at Continuum, as the new chief product officer at Synchro. This follows that recent announcement of Michael George as Synchro's CEO, designed to strengthen the leadership team. Zepp will lead Synchro's product strategy and development initiatives, leveraging her extensive experience in product management within the MSP market. Why do we care? The insight I wanted to provide here was that oftentimes a leadership change such as Michael George's comes with subsequent hiring of a management team that leader is familiar with. Michael George is reassembling the band, so to speak, bringing together those that he's worked with previously to run his operations at Synchro. The lesson here, leaders tend to follow other leaders. And it's important to watch as you'll see that team get reassembled with people that Michael George has likely worked to again. As we watch that a team get assembled, we'll get greater insights into what their strategy will be ongoing. Next up, time to take a little bit of questions. If you've got a questions, make sure to put it into the comments field. I take them during the show. And additionally, you can submit them online at question@mspradio.com anytime during the week on anything we're talking about, and I'll answer them here. First up, a question submitted online from listener Steve.
Dave, every AI solution provider I talk to says that data cleansing and normalization will probably be a non-trivial task to create AI applications. Won't data management, data cleansing be a big opportunity for MSPs to capture AI-related services?
Steve, you're so prescient. That's been the theme of today. Yes, absolutely. I think data management is going to be one of those areas that is a big growth area. And by the way, if your customers don't even invest in AI, data management alone is going to be useful. It has benefits in terms of the levels of security that you can deliver. And as I reported on Tuesday's show, those that implemented data management in compliance around GDPR actually saw cost savings by being compliant. So yes, I expect this to be an area of interest. Note something that Rich said in his comments, that the distributors have additional ways to get professional services in place for you as an MSP if you don't have those capacities now. I think that's potentially under-leveraged as a resource and one of those areas that I wanted to point out for managed services providers. If you got a question, make sure to submit it online or send it to us at question@mspradio.com. I love taking them, and we will continue to do so ongoing. I want to highlight what's coming up. This coming weekend, we've got an interview with Tabitha Smith. She's an author, has a new book out, and I was intrigued by her concept. Here's a preview of what we talk about.
I'm going to say, like, my cynical side sees tons of pitches around business books all the time. And you've got an idea that I had not heard before and an approach that I thought was pretty innovative. Tell me a little bit about the way your concept of viewing businesses as living organisms. Tell me a little bit about that idea.
Yeah. So, Dave, everything goes back to we are all made of the same energy. Every plant, animal, creature, human being, and that includes businesses as well. So everything that lives goes through the exact same cycles in nature. And whether that's the laws of motion, physics, complexity theory, we can predict how to implement our technologies better based on growth cycles. They're the same throughout all of nature. So that's what I mean about living businesses. You can't skip from beginning and birth all the way over to maturity and decline. So it predictably will go through phases. If you're good at catching them, then you're going to know more what to sell to your customer, what they need as far as tech.
So give me an example. Let's make the, you know, because we don't want to think this is too touchy-feely ethereal. You've made this practical. Kind of walk me through a bit of a practical example.
Yeah. Let me first start with the growth curve, you know, the infamous growth curve that every college has been teaching for how many years now. And you can map people along that, right? People who are great at startups, your Elon Musks are going to be at the tip of that. At the top, the risk averse people are going to be more like Sheldon on Big Bang Theory that kind of want to, you know, get rid of the risk. Well, technology is no different. So AI, generative AI, is going to be more future forward, looking to the future. Execution in the middle is going to be more like your data management, taking in data and turning that into something actionable. And then up at the top where you need risk and, you know, refinement, that's going to be your automation and things like that to refine. And tech is such an integrated part of our workforce today. We can't separate the two. Who doesn't have their phone in their pocket right now, you know? And so the more we can recognize what is the need I'm serving right now and then align it to the right part of that curve, that is where you get the biggest bang for the buck. And that's how you get people to move.
Tabitha brought a lot of interesting insights and a different approach to the way she thought about management. And a reminder for listeners, my Patreon supporters already have access to this interview, and you can get all my interview content early as a supporter. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio. Get access to that interview right now. And vendors, if you're interested, I have a new option to get your name mentioned here on the live show. It's a simple monthly subscription. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for that channel option for engaging with the show. It's a great way to support the content going on here and, as a vendor, get your name out there. I really appreciate listening to you. There's a couple of different ways to support the show. You can like and share this content with anybody that you communicate with. That's an easy way to do that. And go ahead and hit that like button, hit the share button, and subscribe at any time. I've mentioned my Patreon. You get access to content early at patreon.com/MSP Radio. And additionally, we do take questions. I look forward to them both live, but submitted as a voice memo or as a video to question@MSPradio.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week with another live show and have that interview with Tabitha coming out this weekend. Talk to you next week.